Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 27th of November. It is the day before Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and as you travel or you start to prepare your Thanksgiving celebrations with family, with friends, either going somewhere or hosting, I'm praying safety and rest and peace upon you in this hour. Safe travels, blessings with your family. Listen, make amends if there's past, if there's issues and there's problems. Life's too short. Let's celebrate one another and who we are and what we have and who we know. Let's listen with an open mind. Let's go to the table not as if we have everything figured out, but as if we might have something to learn if we paid attention. Let's do that, and maybe even more so in this season. And I believe we will walk away better people for it. I'm in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I am going to air for you. We're going to deal today with some of the end of verse 5, and we'll deal with verse 6. These are those great love passages. I got some things I want to say today that I think might shine a little brighter light on Jesus, a little clearer light on Jesus and who the Father is and what the redemptive work of the cross has done. I also want to announce that we will do a long form Friday this weekend, and my plan is to air for you a full sermon that we have not aired since it originally aired on our site, and then we pulled them off. What I mean by that is this will come from our series in the book of Hebrews. We have that available for purchase on our website on a flash drive, 43 sermons from the book of Hebrews. We also have it available for download on our website, but these are a little harder to get your hands on individually. What we're going to do is jump into the middle of that series and air for you a sermon from it, from that journey through Hebrews. That'll be a full-length message. We'll come on and introduce it and all that good stuff on Friday. And then hopefully, if that blesses you, you'll want to get the full series. But we want to make one available just to let you know what that series was about. I'll choose one from the middle portion of the series. Most of them stand up on their own. Well, they all stand up on their own. So they're great looks at some of this stuff from the book of Hebrews. And so that is my idea for Long Form Friday. Maybe a surprise thrown in here or there. And that's coming up in just a couple of days. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Concentrate on that last phrase, thinks no evil. Translation's a little bit spotty there from what it is in the Greek, because the Greek is not so much about not thinking about evil, because that's the way that sounds. Love doesn't think evil of other people. Of course not. But that's not really the reference in the Greek. It's love keeps no accounts of evil. Think about that phrase. Love does not keep account of evil. From the perspective of God is love, and if love doesn't keep account of evil, then what should you infer about God? That God doesn't count or keep an account of your evils. This is a tremendous glimpse at redemption in microcosm. What is the cross and the resurrection accomplishing? It is God taking into himself our sins, transgressions, iniquities, failures. It's the judgment of sin and evil at the cross so that we can live the resurrected life. That would mean that for God to be a proper judge, he must count all sin and wickedness in the crucifixion, so that there's nothing left to count in us. Therefore, God's perfect expression of love is the cross, but why? Not simply because by dying as a man, we know someone's died on our behalf. That's part of it. There's a lot of things happening at the cross. But by taking sin into himself and then counting a judgment against it, God cannot be just if he judges it twice. Because to judge it twice would be to deem that the first judgment was invalid. And that would be a slap in the face of the cross. So God counts the cross as having accomplished what needs accomplished. Therefore, God doesn't need to do it again. Therefore, sin has been judged in Christ. So God, if he is love, cannot count your evils. He cannot take into account the failures that you have. Otherwise, the cross is not the cross. So it's really, I think, comes back to how powerful do you view the cross? How important was the finished work? If the finished work accomplished the justice of God against evil, then the justice of God can't count evil against you because he's already counted it against Jesus. He can't keep two sets of books. If he's in the heavenly system of accounting, sin and iniquity has already been counted. God would have to keep two sets of books. The set of books that he shows the... I'm going to use an illustration that is going to make no sense in the spiritual terms, but you'll get it in the natural. God would have to keep two sets of books. One that he shows the IRS and one that's real. And the one that he shows the IRS is the one he's doctored up. And then the one that's real is what he really feels. And I think you know how foolish that is. God is not looking at the cross as the expression of what he really wants to do with sin, but his real issue is he's going to go get you for evil. Love doesn't just think no evil. Love keeps no account of evil. What does that have to do with me and you? Well, this is not an easy one because people wrong you. They commit evils against you, to you, around you, and that have to do with you, either directly or indirectly. To not count that against them is the highest mark of love. I didn't say that you have to trust everyone, and I don't think love blindly trusts people. There's no description in 1 Corinthians 13 that love blindly trusts people. Love forgets all wrongs. No, you don't forget things. In fact, if you forgot, you wouldn't be like God. God gave you memory. God knows what has happened. God makes a choice to hold those things against us no more. He's already judged them in Christ, and so judicially he can't hold them against us. So it's not a matter of people wrong me and I don't remember it. No, people wrong me and I remember it. But to hold against them evil is the opposite of love. And that is something I don't think very many of us have licked. I mean, as bad as as we talked about yesterday, verse 5, love doesn't behave rudely. That's one we're all working on, allowing the love of the Father to take out of us. Another one is that we do often keep account of evil. It's different, I think, maybe in keeping account of evil when people do evil against you, but also we have a culture where people count evil all the time. They count people's wrongs and then hold them up in front of them. And I'm praying for a return to the love of the Father, where we start to realize what a great price has been paid on our behalf, and therefore what a great price we ought to pay to others. 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but bears in the truth. Love never celebrates sin. It never celebrates evil. It never celebrates people's failures either. It doesn't celebrate the fall of someone. It rejoices in reality. It rejoices in the truth. Okay, there's a few more. We'll work with them on our Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.